Welcome to Rookie Investor Podcast. This is a fun episode. We're talking about investing the Hollywood way. Gareth, there's plenty of films about Wall Street, making money in the markets, and we're going to explore just the reality behind it.
Yeah, this is what I don't know where it's all going to lead to. We've referenced quite a few movies as we've chatted, and I thought, you know, we were chatting about it. We're like, yeah, we need to put something on about movies because we both love movies. And investing movies, naturally, we've seen.
And you've got great characters.
Great characters.
Jordan Gecko, Jordan Belfort.
Yeah. You do, and you've got great storylines. It's because most of them, as we'll sort of chat through, most of them are positive. Most of them, people come out on top. There's a couple of ones which don't, but quite a few of them. I mean, The Wolf of Wall Street, who wouldn't want to be Jordan Belfort watching that movie? I always think it must be amazing for Jordan Belfort. Like, you know when you sit down and you go, if I want a movie about my life, and you're like, yeah, who do I want it to play? You know what I mean? I do, exactly. I mean, I'm, you know, most people are like Leo, of course. And there he is naturally playing. And, you know, your wife is
Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie. Like, wow. Like, talk about an ego boost. You know, you go to your mates and go, scripted. Yeah. Leo's basically played me in a movie. Like, that's just crazy, man, to be honest about it. Yeah. So, yes, what we'll probably do is I think we'll just chat through a couple of the movies. We'll try and dissect some of them. And hopefully, yeah, at the end of it, we can kind of say, hey, if you haven't seen any of these movies, there's a couple of movies we'd say go out and watch, because there is some ones in there which are really, really good. And I'll probably start on that, which is if we talk about a couple of documentaries, because there's some awesome documentaries. There's actually a couple of really good ones around the financial crash. The two that come to mind for me are Too Big to Fail, which is about the financial crash. And it's really, really good. They've put together a huge amount of footage all around the banks and talking to people behind the scenes and in the banking all about what was happening. And the fact that, you know, at the time there was this the talk was these banks were too big to fail. Lehman Brothers was too big to fail. I mean, that was the kind of mantra at the time in Wall Street. And of course, that wasn't the case. Nothing's ever too big to fail. And I even heard it. I mean, I lived in Ireland. Or sorry, I was living in the UK, but my family were in Ireland at the time. And the same thing was happening in the UK where Northern Rock had a run. And that was too big to fail. And in Ireland, it was the same. Anglo-Irish Bank, in effect, went bankrupt pretty much, but they were too big to fail. So it's an awesome documentary, and one that if you really want to get into the mindset of, particularly it's US based, of the what was going on behind the scenes in terms of banks and the legislation and the kind of the people that were involved in the banking side of stuff, that's one that's really worth watching. And the second one for me, if we're talking about documentaries, is Enron, the smartest guys in the world. I don't know if you've seen that one, but that's again, everyone knows the Enron story. It's like one of the massive, massive sort of fails in the world. Huge, huge losses. The company, turns out it was all a pyramid scheme. It was just built on nothing. and this basically tracks the whole thing and talks about people who were there at the time as it was failing and stuff. Really, really good documentary.
And what they do well is, because we teach three parts to our investing, know the market, know the stock, and know yourself. And it really highlights both those documentaries is knowing the market. Like knowing the rules of the game, what actually happens, you know, not just what we kind of see on the news or newspapers or a quick quote from a stock. It's getting deep into what actually happens in those decision-making rooms with the CEO, how they're thinking. Just that exposure to that too big to fail is,
Bang. I was going to talk at the end. I was going to say, what are the lessons from the movies? And one of them is know your market 100%. And that's where you see the likes of Wall Street. So that's built around corporate raiders. And it's about insider trading. Like that's very much about knowing your market. Other people's money is a bit like that as well. The Danny DeVito movie we were just talking about, where he's a corporate raider as well. The big one for me is the Big Short is a great example of that.
That's just a brilliant film.
And of course, it's based on a true story. I don't know how accurate it is. Again, the guy that had Brad Pitt playing him must be very happy, but I don't know if I'd want Steve Carell playing me personally.
I'd be honoured.
You'd be honoured.
It'd be amazing. Michael Scott.
Michael Scott, amazing. No, that fair point, actually. That would be pretty good. But yeah, that's a really good example of that idea of know your market, where these guys, they weren't professional traders. Isn't that right?
Which ones? There were 40 people in that film.
I thought there was a group of main guys that did it that were not professional traders, but were sort of people that understood the market.
So Christian Bale, see what was happening. Well, Christian Bale was in that, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. He was a main guy that came out, and he was a fund manager. So he identified the opportunity, And then Steve Carell, they were traders. They were their own little.
Oh, they were traders. Yeah, they were small. Yeah, they weren't big players. Yeah.
No, certainly big by our standards, but in the scheme of things.
No, mate, you know.
But
we're big players.
Their issue was they were actually kind of a subsidiary or a smaller, kind of funded by, I think it was Goldman Sachs maybe, or Merrill Lynch, one of those big ones.
Mm.
So they were kind of traders, had their own firm, had their own assets under management. Ryan Gosling, I believe, was an investment banker. So he went around and made markets, made those deals. And then you had the guys, the Brad Pitt and those two. Mm. I forget their names now. But they're actually an interesting story if you go research that. They made their money by betting against unlikely events. And you can make shitloads of money doing that because the risk-to-reward ratio is so outstanding. And one of the best ones I've ever seen was with Brexit. And a lot of people went short on the British pound because they knew if Brexit got rejected like they expected, not much had happened with the currency.
Yeah.
But on the off chance that they approved it and it went through, the currency had plummeted.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. Some people picked up, you know, I think it went 15, 17% within about 24, 48 hours.
Straight after the vote. Yes.
It dropped massively.
It did plummet before, the central bank stepped in and
the way
supported,
that, The way that foreign currencies work is you trade on pips and you can nominate a price per pip. So you can do like $1,000 per pip. 100 pips is kind of one percentage point. So people made a shitload of money.
We should do a podcast on that, actually.
Yeah, it's a good method.
I'd like to do one on like unusual investing methods. Or
it kind of goes into sort of hedging because you're hedging your bets a little bit. Another one, I think, Donald Trump would have been one. He was an outsider. If he missed out,
then people would have made a hell of a lot.
And that's how those guys made their money.
Interesting. I'd say you even would have done all right at some points on Scott Morrison returning to power in Australia, because that wasn't, you know, that people do say that was the election that he shouldn't have won and he did manage to win.
Yeah.
Because at one point Labour were miles ahead and sort of seemed to claw it back. So that's possibly one at some point that you would have been able to do it. So
definitely
interesting. The one I know, someone who did bet on, it was Ireland and England in the cricket in the one day World Cup in and it was the Windies, I think, or the Bahamas. Yeah. In like 2013, 2014. Someone correct me, I'm sure I'm wrong on that. But England were basically smashing Ireland, right? And then Ireland came into bat. They were doing nothing for about 10 or 15 overs. And then suddenly this one player just started to like hit sixes everywhere. And you know, Ireland ended up winning. It was a famous win. But I know someone that betted on that during the game. And the odds were incredible. Insane. They were, I think, it was like well over 100, 150 to one. It was insane. Yeah. Like I'm sure it was just out of the park because it was like England playing Ireland in cricket, clearly he was going to win, and the fact that Ireland weren't doing that well. Anyway, it was interesting. So it does happen. The unusual does happen. So that's a really interesting
one. You make a lot of money from it. That's probably one of my favourite movies, favourite investing movies.
Yeah, I know.
I think it covers everything.
Yeah, and I think it's the reality because it is real. Like Wolf of Wall Street, it is real, but it's also, I think, a lot of that is
got production value.
It's got production value, absolutely. Like, it's all overdone. Everyone's kind of beautiful and all the rest of it. And I don't think that's the reality. The story is right, but I agree. I think the Big Short's one.
The parts I like about Big Short is how they short the housing market, but it continued to go up. It just showed how manufactured and manipulated Wall Street is.
Yeah.
Even though the data and everything suggested that this should really go down or this should collapse, and it continued to go up.
Yeah, right.
And then that meeting that Steve Carell had with that that Asian investor, I can't remember his specific nationality, and having sushi, and he's telling him about the market and all these, all these CDOs and stuff that they're creating. And then afterwards, he's just like short everything that guy's touched.
Yeah.
And I think that just highlights some of the greed that's out in Wall Street that you don't really get to see on a daily basis.
And amazingly, we still don't see that. I mean, after the crash, you would have thought everything was laid bare, but certainly in the US, I think these big investment houses and the big banks have so much lobbying power. They actually kept a huge amount out. I mean, Elizabeth Warren did bring in the Something Steagall Act back in again, which separated out the investing division from like the mortgage division, the savings division, the banks. But that's nothing. Like, the whole thing should have been absolutely done. And of course, Trump isn't going to do that, you know, which is whatever. That is what it is. But it's amazing how they've still managed to hide a huge amount of that. So moves like that are actually, I think, beneficial for anyone who's interested in investing. I'm with you.
I think good insight.
You give a massive insight to the reality of it. And I think all of us need to know what it's actually about. You know, there is plays and there's things that you can do to sort of figure it out. But it's also, particularly at that time, and it would probably happen again, there was a lot of manipulation in the market. So I think that's a really good one. Other people's money is also very like that. I know you said you haven't seen it. Really worth watching. So it was filmed in 91, but it's actually set in the 80s. And it's about a corporate raider, Danny DeVito, who goes in and basically strips companies of assets, sells off the assets, makes a shed load of money, and then sells the company. The company just goes bankrupt. But it's a really kind of honest portrayal in a way about how that type of round, they still exist, they're still around, how those sorts of people operate. And it is a side to investing, because you can invest in them or you can invest in the companies, and there's different ways to do it. It's a really good eye-opener as to, you know, I suppose in a way the kind of greed that's involved. A lot of people wouldn't see it that way, but you know, and the reality of how markets affect real life and real people.
It's actually not too dissimilar to how value investing kind of kicked off. Benjamin Graham in sort of after the...
When was he? 50s, was it?
No, he was 30s after Depression.
Yep.
And he used to assess people for loans and mortgages and that type of stuff.
Yeah, right.
And he wanted to apply some similar techniques to stocks. And that's where he'd find companies that were trading below book value. Book value is pretty much assets minus liabilities, and whatever you have left is a book value. So that movie would have done the same. They'd have said, let's sell $100 million worth of assets, pay off our $50 million worth of debt, and we've got $50 million left over.
Left over.
Yep. Close down the company and we take that $50 million.
Yep.
That would have been their kind of premises.
Yep, so exactly.
They had to look at that equity, and if there was $50 million, they might have went in and purchased the company for like $20 million,
yep,
and net 30 for pretty much just doing admin stuff.
Yes.
Selling stock and paying down debt.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And of course, Berkshire Hathaway, which is Warren Buffett is going there, was originally a paper mill. I mean, he bought it as a paper mill and said it was one of the worst investments he'd done because it paper was going even then. So, and that's what this movie, again, it is about that particular period. And it's probably, I don't think it's as prevalent now, because it was a period in time where you had a huge industrial base that was basically declining quite rapidly. And so people were able to get in and buy companies that still had inherent value, all their machinery, all their assets.
Well, that's the thing, the machinery was actually the physical stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas tech companies now, what are you going to be getting in a business? A bloody hula hoop and a slide. And if you're in Google, that's it. Yeah. You can't really sell those.
You can't buy out Uber and pay down.
No, that's all right.
You're getting a beer pong table. Yeah. Some beanbags from head office, and that's it.
You know,
it's all the assets.
A funky vegan, whatever. So, yeah, no, that's right. So, and I think that sort of period is over. But of course, all of those pale in comparison to the ultimate investing movie, which is Trading Places, which I can't believe you haven't seen, man.
I have seen it. I've never seen it as an investing film.
It is, because it's all about, they short the market. They short the orange market. Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy. It's amazing, man.
It is amazing.
It covers all gamuts of emotion.
I've never put it into an investing point.
People should watch it if you want to know what investing is about. It's the Winthrops. Is it the Winthorps? The Winthrops?
No, we should do an episode on Eddie Murphy films.
That'd be awesome. Just take out a bit from about 98
to about...
So he did Flubble, and he did The Nutty Professor, and he did... Yeah, Nutty Professor too. Nutty Professor is okay. Number two, and he did what else he did?
No, I'm talking Flubber. Delirious and Raw.
Oh, no, okay, that's awesome. Do you remember the Eddie Murphy suit? Do you remember the rubber suit he had in like Raw? And that was amazing, man. No, I'm with you on that. Brilliant. He was awesome. Like, 80s Eddie Murphy is just Beverly Hills Cop, like just brilliant. He just had sass. He was cool.
His delivery was good.
Kind of geeky. Like he just had all those sorts of things. So yeah, no, that's for me is definitely the number one movie, I have to say. So we've sort of covered. Oh, the other one I was going to say actually, which is a really good one, is Margin Call.
Yes. Margin Call was,
Margin Call is, to go back to what we're talking about as in movies where you can learn a bit about. I mean, it's 24 hours in the day of a company that's realized, or the people that work there have realized that they've completely risked far too much, and they're I don't know what the term is. They're not going bankrupt, but they're failing. They're failing quickly. So they've sort of, within this 24-hour window, they're trying to figure out how they can resolve the issue. And what's really interesting, it shows the reality of what people do in the market, of how the market actually works. So, you know, it comes in, it's Kevin Spacey's in it. There's a couple of really heavyweight actors. They come in and the first thing they look to do is they look to sell a huge amount of stock that they have, but they have to do it in a way that it isn't obvious to the market. So they have to sell in small lots. There's all of this kind of stuff. And a lot of it, I mean, I don't know, but I suspect a lot of it's very real. It's a very real thing that companies do.
That point there is why everyday investors have advantage over big guys, because if they're doing analysis and they've got $100 million worth of Apple stock and they think Apple's about to crash, they have to offload that quickly, but quietly,
which is really hard to do.
The other thing is, because they're all trained at the same universities, same MBAs, otherwise companies are the same, they can't sell it to other fund managers because they're running the same numbers and they also see that Apple's bad. So they've got to try and offload their stock to average punters like us. Whereas if we got 10 grand in Apple, we run our own numbers and we're like, shit, we've got to get out of this deal.
Yeah.
We can do it in an afternoon. Whereas these guys have to do it over a long period of time.
That's a really good point. And that goes back to the know your market. It's about, so what we teach at Cheeky is we teach people how to have the education to make the decisions, which is the most important thing. So if you're going into that, you're not going to be tripped up by some salesperson or, you know, some great thing that you heard from a mate of a mate.
That's a good segue into Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes.
They're selling to the average
punter. Oh, man, penny stocks. Yeah, that's again, you know, we talked about, I mean, it's all overproduced or whatever, but what he did is exactly what he did. You know, a lot of people would say he's a scumbag because he took $100 million, I think, estimated from people. But yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, the sad truth is there's huge numbers of people that would still get tripped up by that if someone gave them a call and said, I've got this investment. Then, of course, you know, they're selling the dream. Oh, it's penny stocks. You know, you don't need to put anything in. You'll make a huge amount out.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. We did a podcast on penny stocks. And I think it's really well worth listening because there's opportunity in there. Tim Sykes bigs them up.
There's
definitely opportunity. Yeah. But again, you definitely can't go into penny stocks not knowing how to assess companies, how to understand, you know, market cap, how to look at what assets they have, what debt they have. All of this sort of stuff to me is like, that's vital when you're dealing in penny stocks, because any one of those things could trip you up massively.
Yeah.
And you know, I know Tim Sykes says don't invest large sums of money in each pot, but even if you're investing and you've got, you know, you're investing 5 to 10 grand, that's a lot of money for a lot of people. It is for me. Huge, shit, if I lost that, I'd be really bloody pissed off.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, that Wolf of Wall Street is a great example of,
The part I think, it kind of gets brushed over because it's a bit...
Not the bit when Margot Robbie's opens her legs, not that bit.
That certainly doesn't get brushed over.
Okay, just checking. I don't want you to forget that bit.
I think I've got a master's in Margot Robbie. that was an investing film, what? You've got me sidetracked. It's a Steve Madden IPO. Remember how they did that? They launched Steve Madden shoes on Wolf of Wall Street.
No.
Brushed over because it's probably...
I'm not going to lie. Yeah, Margot Robbie. No, I don't remember that.
So Steve Madden's the guy that has a shoe, Steve Madden shoes. And he's got a whole heap of clothing. And they've done the IPO for him. Stratton Oakmont, I think Belfort's firm was.
Yeah.
And what they did was they sold a heap of shares and he'd done that motivational speech, and that's right before they had one of their many parties.
Oh,
and
he's
all right, go out and ram this stock down your throat of your clients. That's not too dissimilar how an IPO kind of works.
Yeah.
Because they get stocks in it themselves.
Yeah.
So they're trying to sell it, and when something's oversold... So
do those companies buy the stocks in the IPO? Is that how it works?
Yeah. They either buy it or they get issued some.
Yeah.
And they get it much cheaper than the everyday investor.
Okay.
And they try and create all this demand. If they sell more, then the stock's going to go up.
Yeah.
And then later in the film, they just pump it. They just
sell pump it off. And dump. Yeah.
And that's why Warren Buffett doesn't like reading much about stocks from other research analysts or other firms. Because what happens is, let's go back to that Apple example.
Yeah.
If that company, big fund manager, wants to offload Apple, what you do is send a note down to your trading desk, ring up your clients and say, we think Apple's going to going to do well over the next 24 months. They've got this new iPhone coming out. We think you should buy some Apple stock. So they're filtering their stock that they're trying to sell and creating a market to everyday punters.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, they're creating people to sell to. They get out of the bad investment and they're selling it off to the everyday punters.
And you could argue quite a few people, including even Jim Cramer, has been caught out doing that. It's this hyped up pumping things up.
It's hard to be independent when you have when you're a fund manager. Or you manage funds.
I can understand that. I mean, absolutely, yeah. And it's a good point as to why you really need to do your own.
Actually, it's a good plug for research. Us about our Cheeky Edge. Cheeky Edge stock investing group. What we do is we go through, I analyze 5 hot stocks every month, have a look at whether they're undervalued, overvalued, or set for growth, do a live conference call. You call into an online webcast that we have. We do a Q&A, we go through the markets, go through different stocks. And the reason that's significant is because we don't have any conflicting interest. Where most other people, if you go to Morningstar, if you go to Motley Fool or something, they have funds
that they run. Right.
Yep. And if they're, you know, they're putting out this research, this stock to buy, this stock to sell, what's their ulterior motive behind that?
Like, good point,
can you have that independence or that conflict?
The scumbags,
where ours is just straight up.
That's right.
Straight up analysis.
We just want to teach people. No, that's spot on.
And cheekyinvestor.com/cheekyedge. Awesome. $25 a month you go on there, and it's good fun. We're having a conference call next week to go through and have a look at what the market's doing.
Yeah, because it's not just that information you get. You also get conference calls talking about markets. You get a huge amount of
I do a market overview, both Australia and US. Yep. Live Q&A. I'll take questions about anything.
Yep.
And I'll even do like a bit of a speed round or something. Ask some stocks. I'll pull up some data and give a kind of rough idea as to what they might look like.
Awesome. Oh, it's for $25 a month. It's unbelievable. I mean, you're paying 3-4 times that with most other systems, and they're nowhere near as good. Just the detail you get from that is
and again,
incredible.
The independence.
And the independence, which is vital in investing.
We don't have a fund.
We've got our own investments, but we're not in a position to say buy or sell. We're just giving you the information, and we want you to decide, because that's the most important thing, is you've got the education to go and take this and to build your wealth. You know, that's not, we're not going to, we don't want to be here sort of saying buy this, buy that, because actually it's much better if you learn how to do it yourself. So 100%. Brilliant. Yeah. No, very good. Very good. Yeah. I think just given where we're at with the time, we might just kick straight in. I was going to do a little bit on the good and bad movies. We might cover that at the end. Just a couple of questions about all those movies we've talked about. Oh, the other one was Boiler Room.
Boiler Room's great.
Boiler Room is awesome. Yeah, Giovanni Ribisi's. It's about the Wolf of Wall Street. It's about that scene, certainly.
And they had to be, because they're still going through the courts, they couldn't go into too much info.
Great movie. Yeah, Giovanni Ribisi, yes.
It's got Ben Affleck, who does one of the best sales motivation speeches I've ever seen.
Yeah, I know. And it's kind of weird when he does it, because it's so on Ben Affleck when you're watching it. Yeah, he's amazing. Cool in it. He's a real like hot shot. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm 28 and I'm an old man here. Yeah. Like, I love it. Yeah, no, cool. Well worth watching, actually. Yeah, that's reminding me. I need to watch that again. So the questions I've jotted down are... we didn't really talk about Wall Street, but everyone knows that movie. Greed good? I'm talking about the movies. Yeah. So from the movie, all those movies, is greed good? Does it work?
I mean, greed's great. It's good. You've got to have that mentality to acquire money, because it's infinite. Yep. Infinite. It's like air. It doesn't matter whether your neighbor's having more breasts than you are. There's plenty to go around.
More breasts.
Breath. Taking more breath in, because it's like air, you fool.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to
tell Margot Robbie again.
Margot Robbie, yeah.
But that's mentality. One of the things I've only heard recently is when people say money doesn't buy happiness, I don't think those people have given enough money away.
Yeah.
Because that's when you can have significant impact. Yeah. And
Well, and I agree with you. Greed is good.
So I think greed is good when it's
used
ethically
properly.
Done.
Yes, correct. Oh, definitely.
It's not about the Gordon Gekko approach.
No.
And ripping people off.
Which is
off.
The corporate raider
if
thing.
If you can
or
go out
trading,
and build a billion-dollar net worth by working 80 hours a week, building a business, selling products that generally help people, that's fantastic.
Oh, it's amazing. No, I'm with you. And it was Grant Cardone said, I think when we had that sit-down podcast with him, he said, with money said, money gives you the power. Like, money gives you the power to go out and save the environment. It gives you the power to go out and, you know, get involved in charities, give money to your churches. Yeah. Like, it gives you that power. You don't have, like, people go, oh no, you know, I don't need money in life. I'll do whatever. But if you want to actually change things, it's money that helps you change those things.
It does,
and that's
yeah.
just the reality of it. You know, you can't get away. Yeah, absolutely. So having the resources, having the money to be able to pay for things, to be able to talk, you know, meet the right people, all that stuff to change things. You know, that's actually the reality of it. So I'm with you. Greed is good.
Yeah.
But maybe not the Wall Street greed. But, you know, I'll touch of that. It's those shirts that get me. They're amazing. The two-tone investor shirts.
Oh, I can't
that they
find
wear.
Those anyway.
They used to be fashionable, but they're out, man.
Let's
I think you'd have
back.
To get them handmade. Let's bring them back. Actually, we should do like Cheeky Investor monogrammed.
Should
and do it as a win, doing as a prize. That'd be really good, wouldn't it?
That'd
anyway,
I'd just buy them.
No, man, I know you would. But
let's get into fashion.
All right,
it's the next step.
Is it worth betting against the market?
Betting against the market,
correct?
I think so. I'm seriously considering shorting Disney because their numbers look stupid.
Really?
Yeah, they've just released. Here's my reasoning. They've just released Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Gone up 8%. Their earnings per share are looking to go down 10% next year. That's one big divergence. The other thing that I think people are missing, they're saying by 2025, they're going to have 100 million subscribers per month, which means at $7 a month, $700 million, which is $8.4 billion a year.
Yeah.
But my question is, were those people DVD buyers? A few years ago, are they just changing, not changing revenue, but changing how people give them revenue? Because you think $7 a month over a year is what, half a dozen DVDs. People stop buying DVDs and they subscribe to the platform. There's no actual change in revenue. It's just change
yes.
in the way that people give them revenue.
Yes, but you're basing that on the proviso that $7 is a fixed fee. I think that $7 is a starter.
Oh, it'll grow.
I mean, it's very low. It's much lower than Netflix, and I think it's done on purpose to get people. I suspect they'll move that up quite quickly.
It will, but I still think...
But I get your point.
There's going to be an impact. At the moment, they rely a lot on cinema sales, like
yes.
releasing to cinemas. What happens when people are like, let's not spend $120, take our kids, we'll wait a few... months and we'll wait for it to come on Disney Plus, kind of like Netflix.
Well, Netflix are doing that. It's weeks now, not months. Yeah, that's right.
So I think you need to look at the whole Disney business model where they rely a lot on that box office revenue.
Yeah.
And is this going to be a way where that kind of comes down or impacts that aspect of the business?
Yeah.
And I don't think people have done that much research.
No,
all right.
Interesting.
They've just said, let's add subscribers. Yeah. So
you do think it's worth betting against the market?
I think if you find, opportunities.
Like the Big Short.
And
yeah.
Odd, yeah.
Yeah. No, very good. Okay, I like that. We've talked about know the market. So we've covered that, I think. That was the way. And the final one is, will cheating always be found out? So I'm thinking Wolf of Wall Street ends up in jail. The boiler room, the whole thing goes to shit.
Yeah.
Margin call, which I don't think you've seen, but yeah, that's one where the company is basically, well, it's not so much cheating, but there's a lot of stuff going on that's dodgy and that company goes down. My view is it does eventually get found out, but you can still get your money out. And we would never advocate insider trading or anything like that. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Because I do actually think you do get found out eventually. Martha Bloody Stewart. Did Martha Stewart? Well, okay, maybe not.
I think that...
Maybe only at a certain level people do. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there'd be people out there that are doing it at a small level.
Okay, at a small
Jordan
level,
Belfort created a lot of noise about what he was doing.
He did. True.
You know,
and
what happened to that?
Money.
I don't know if it's true, but what happened to that first company that Jordan Belfort went into?
Oh, yeah.
They were selling pink sheets.
Yeah.
That was the same operation, but not at scale.
True.
So did that company get found out? Or
yeah,
that,
well, fair point. Maybe it's about the how high profile you get. Maybe that's the point. I'm sure there's lots of people that do it. You know what I mean? Where you can find things. Look, I mean, I've been on the dark web and there's lots of people offering insider information, whether it's true or not. You can buy it for a very cheap amount of money. I'm sure you can
just
go
seems,
online and
it
get
just
it.
It just seems like a cheating way to accumulate.
Oh, there's no enjoyment in it. Yeah, there's no satisfaction,
like, you
to be honest.
Drug distribution network and make quick money.
Oh, that'd be better. Just you running a business. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's like you've got supply and demand, you've got staff issues.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? For me, it is, but it's also, it's back to this thing of knowing the market. In all honesty, for most of us, we don't have those contacts that we can call up and we know they're solid. It's like going to the bookies and the fella next to you goes, oh, listen, I've got an inside tip, you know, go for your, those fella. like 90% of the time, the reason they're doing that is because it's the mugs. It's the people that don't know that end up spending the money and end up losing the money. So to me, insider trading isn't something that can work for any of the people we're talking to. Not only because it's illegal and you shouldn't be doing it, or, you know, cheating or whatever, but also because it's us, it's the commoners that end up getting shafted with that. It's the people at the top that don't. So I don't think it's worth doing. I don't think we'd know enough people to be able to do it. And also, you don't need to do it, you know?
No, there's we talk
about 15% returns, and that's like conservative. That's what we aim for every single person we work with, is 15% returns. 15% returns is awesome. You've talked about, you've done an awesome blog article, which is talking about a 400% return in 12 months.
Yeah.
You don't need to cheat. Like,
no,
if you know the market, you can figure it out, you know?
You just need to be smart.
Yeah.
So going with that insider trading or insider info, it's not that level, but it's maybe having a contact person in the UK.
Yeah.
To give you an actual feel of what's happening in Brexit, because we're only getting the media.
Yeah, we
which are. Is never True. Trustworthy. If we actually had contact in the UK, they probably would have said, you know, there's probably a 50-50 chance that the friends I'm talking to and the conversations I'm having, this might get up.
Yeah.
And you could have acted accordingly. Same with Trump. If someone was actually on the ground seeing what was happening in the conversations at cafes and taxis, they'd be like, he's 5-1, but he's probably really a 50-50 given... Yeah. And that's you can do that type of stuff.
Yeah.
About being smart. But,
no, that's right. No.
Insider trading.
Look, very, very interesting. We say no to insider trading. Finally, what's your top pick for investor movie?
Investor movie?
Yep. So what's your one you say right now? If people haven't seen any, what's the one they have to see?
Big Short.
Yeah, I thought you might say that.
It's just enjoyable. I watch it several
times. I'm going to say Trading Places because I just love that movie. I'll tell you what it is. Other People's Money is a very eye-opening account of the reality of a lot of sort of trading and that sort of stuff. I would say Other People's Money. And it's Gregory Peck, Danny DeVito, great movie. All right. Thank you so much. We've run slightly over our normal time. This actually turned out to be a really cool topic. So we should definitely do something a bit off as well. I really enjoy it, absolutely. I hope we weren't rambling on too much. But thank you all for listening. So hopefully you've got some idea of investing the Hollywood way. And look, check us out. Yeah, obviously this is up on Spotify, Google. It's, you know, across the podcast world. We've also got a Facebook page, Cheeky Investor. Phil mentioned we've got our website, cheekyinvestor.com. Really nice new Smicky website, looks really good. Just get in touch. Facebook is the best way. We're always on there. There's lots of people chatting, talking about different things. So if you want to get involved, now is the time. Action is the best thing that you can do. You're coming up to Christmas. Get everything lined up and get ready to smash 2020. So thank you so much for listening, and you'll check us out next week. Cheers.